come in our worship now to read God's holy word, and we turn to the gospel according to Mark and to chapter 4, and we read verses 1 to 20 of this chapter. Well-known passage, the parable of the sower. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. This is God's holy and infallible word that we read. And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen. Turning God's word to Mark chapter 4 and to the parable of the sower. At this time of year, arable farmers expect to see the growth of their crops after all their hard work of sowing and planting. And indeed, when you're driving around the countryside, you do find much growth taking place. You see fields of potatoes and barley, and I've even seen fields of maize. And you see grass growing for silage. You see other crops too. Every day, crops at this time of the year are growing and growing. And certainly that is the hope of every farmer who has crops, so that he will have a harvest in due course. And the growth of these crops and the success of their growth very much depends on the soil. It does, of course, also depend on weather. But very much the success of their growth and the production of fruit depends on the soil. Without soil, and without the right kind of soil, with the right mix of nutrients in the soil, such growth would not be possible. There would be no harvest. The soil and the care of the soil throughout the year is, of course, the most important factor in ensuring a good harvest. If the soil is bad soil, you will end up with a weak harvest. If it's good soil, perhaps with a bit of fertilizer added into it, and everything else is right, such as sufficient rain and sun, a farmer can end up with a bumper harvest. The Lord Jesus and practically everyone in Israel in the first century also knew about the importance of soil. Without the produce of the land, people would have perished. For many countries, it's still the same today. The livelihood of the citizens of certain countries is very much dependent on the capability of the soil producing crops. Otherwise, there would be starvation and people would die. Sometimes, even still today, we do hear of some African country where there has been a drought and the crops have failed. The soil has lacked moisture, and the result is that thousands of people starve, some of them even starve to death. Soil, good soil, is so essential to the production of a harvest. Well, Jesus uses this universally known truth about the importance of soil to teach a spiritual lesson in the well-known parable of the sower. The setting is the Sea of Galilee. There's a great multitude of people who want to hear the Lord Jesus teach, and Jesus gets into a boat and he goes out a little way into the Sea of Galilee in this boat while his disciples and others are standing on the seashore. There he is safe in the sea from being crushed by the crowds who want to hear him and who would press upon him, and they go up close to the water's edge in order to hear him. The parable of the sower is the first of a good many parables Jesus would teach the people. He begins, "Listen, behold." What he's going to say is important, and he wants everyone on the land to listen. What he's going to say will not be understood unless people listen carefully. And we know that often when Jesus told parables, there were people who either didn't listen or weren't able to understand what the parable actually meant. So at the very outset of his very first parable, he exhorts the people, "Listen, behold." Then he tells the parable. "A sower went out to sow seed, and as he was scattering it, some seed fell upon different kinds of soil. Some fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured it. Then some fell on stony ground where there wasn't much earth. It sprang up very quickly, but because it had no depth of earth, the sun scorched it, and not having any root, it withered away. And then also some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked that seed, and it yielded no harvest. Other seed fell on good soil, and it yielded a crop that sprang up, it increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. We all know the story of the parable very well. In terms of the geographic and physical aspects of this parable, this was a very familiar picture from which the Lord intended to draw an important spiritual lesson. Some commentators make the point that in that very place where Jesus was, as he looked out from the Sea of Galilee onto the land, there would have been these four types of soil or ground, all at the one time visible to the human eye. The parable of the sower is also one of the few parables that the Lord Jesus goes on to explain. He doesn't explain every parable, but he does go on to explain the parable of the sower. The multitude didn't have the privilege of the explanation, but the disciples and some others who were with them did have that privilege. And we have that privilege. It's explained to us as it's come down to us in Scripture. Really, the disciples ought to have been able to understand the parable, and so should we without the explanation of it. But we are thankful for the explanation nonetheless. With the explanation from Christ himself, we can't go wrong in understanding what we're meant to learn from the parable. The four different kinds of soil represent four different kinds of heart into which the word of God is sown by the sower. The sower is someone who communicates God's word through preaching or through witness. And the kind of heart you have determines how you respond to the word of God as it's taught or preached. Everyone's heart is like one of those four types of soil. Just as only one type of soil results in the right physical effect, it yields a crop, so too there's only one kind of heart that results in the right kind of spiritual effect, spiritual fruit in the life of that person, which is evidence that they have spiritual life. So let's now consider these four kinds of heart represented by the four types of soil. That's what this parable challenges us to do. And as we do that, I want you to ask yourself a question. Which kind of soil corresponds to my heart? Which kind of soil is it in the parable that really corresponds to my heart? It will be one of these kinds. The first kind of heart Christ speaks of is the hard heart. He speaks of the hard heart. Verses 4 and 15 are the relevant verses. Verse 4, and it happened as he, that is, as the sower, sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And the interpretation the Lord gives is in verse 15, and these are the ones, that is, these are the people by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Notice here that the birds of the air coming and devouring the seed correspond to Satan coming and taking away the word sown in these people's hearts. It's done almost immediately. The moment those people hear the word and it's sown in their hearts, Satan comes right away and snatches it from their hearts as though they had never heard it. How quickly birds snatch up seed from the ground. I remember when I was growing up seeing a farmer with a seed spreader on the back of his tractor, and the farmer would fill the spreader up with seed before setting off to his field to spread it. And as he was driving along the road towards the field, the vibration of the tractor caused some seeds to fall out through a little hole in the spreader. Those seeds were just lying on hard ground. Not very many, but some seeds fell out of the spreader onto the hard ground. Well, they weren't able to take root on that hard ground. And it wasn't long before birds came along and ate up all those seeds. A lovely feast for the birds, free of charge, without any searching or digging with their beaks into more fertile soil. And Jesus is saying there are people with hearts like that hard road. When such people are exposed to the word of God, the word falls upon their hearts, but their hearts are hard, just like a hard road. The word doesn't penetrate their hearts. It has absolutely no effect upon them. The preacher might as well have preached to the walls around him. The word of God is lost upon them. And sometimes such people think of themselves as strong people. I don't need to hear this gospel. This is for people who are weak or for people who need some kind of prop in life. But I don't need this. I can live quite well without this. Others will go even further. Like Karl Marx, they may think of religion as the opium of the people, a kind of drug invented by men to decrease pain by satisfying and placating the masses with unsubstantiated promises of a wonderful future beyond their life, beyond this life. Such people may think they're in control of their lives, that they're free and independent thinkers, but that is not what the Lord says about such people. He says of them, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that is sown in their hearts. That's the reality. That's what is happening. They're not in control at all. It is Satan who has control over them. Such people are victims, even prisoners of the evil one. They are poor souls. The word of God is stolen away from them so that they can't hear it, they can't receive it. Satan blinds the eyes of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel. They will not see the glory of Christ. Could there be someone here with such a hard heart? Week after week, the word of God has fallen upon your heart in this very place. Perhaps even other places, but your heart is as hard as the road itself, so hard. You have left this place of worship and never thought another word about what you heard all through the week, and you come back in another week and you hear the word of God again, and the same thing has kept happening week after week. Does this describe you? If it does, you desperately need a change of heart. And God in Christ is able to give you that change of heart. But will you look to him that he might change your heart? So this is the first kind of heart, the hard heart. Then we come to the second kind of soil, pointing to the second kind of heart in verses 5 and 6, there Christ tells us that some seed fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. This was seed that fell on stony ground. And then Christ's interpretation of this kind of soil is in verses 16 and 17. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, this kind of soil corresponds to the shallow heart. First of all, there is the hard heart. Secondly, we have the shallow heart. Now, this stony ground does not refer to soil with stones in it. It is rather thin layers of soil that cover great sheets of bedrock. In our country, where the sun usually doesn't shine for long, nor with great intensity of heat, it might be possible to successfully grow seeds with just a thin layer of soil on hard ground. But in Israel, where the sun can shine for days and perhaps weeks on end, with a great intensity of heat, anything planted in shallow soil will not be able to absorb sufficient moisture from that soil. The soil is so sparse, it is so shallow, that the seed cannot get its roots properly embedded into the soil. As the seed springs up above the soil, the roots then try to reach down to become embedded into the soil, but they can't. The soil is too shallow. And because of the heat of the sun, there is less and less moisture in that shallow soil. And the plant simply can't take proper root in the soil. When the sun is up, it scorches the seedling, and because it has no root, it withers and it dies. That's the picture here of the seed that falls on the stony ground. And Jesus says this corresponds to the type of listener who receives the word, but in a shallow and superficial way. Like the seed sown in that shallow soil on stony ground, which immediately sprang up, the person with the shallow heart at first responds to the word. There is a response. They receive the word with gladness. They may talk the talk for a time, walk the walk that corresponds to the word of God. They are full of joy over what they and others around them perceive as their newfound salvation. They may bring others to the worship services. They may get involved in the life of the church for a time, attend the Bible study and the prayer meeting. But there is a problem. They have no firm root. The word never really becomes anchored in their hearts, in spite of some degree of activity that would appear to show evidence that the word has taken root in their hearts. The reality is that it hasn't. It's like the Irish ship, the St. John, that set off from Galway for America in 1849, loaded with emigrants during the potato famine in Ireland, and on the 7th of October of that year, the ship had almost arrived to its destination in Massachusetts Bay. But just 2.5 miles off the coast, it entered into a storm. And the ship's master, as was common practice at the time, dropped anchors, hoping to ride out the storm, hoping the anchors would catch on something solid in the seabed. But the St. John's anchors failed to hold onto anything, and the ship was wrecked, and 99 people lost their lives. That's just like the effect of the word in the shallow-hearted person. The heart is too shallow for the word to become firmly anchored and to take hold. There's a bit of gripping at the heart for a time. But when the winds and waves of this world take their toll upon that person, when tribulation, severe trial, or when persecution arises for the word's sake, then the word is lost on that person. It loses its effect upon them. The word isn't firmly enough anchored to keep hold. The pressure is too much for them and their faith collapses. There's no staying power. Their response to the word was never genuine. They seem to be Christians. A plant did grow. The signs of authentic faith seemed to be present, but in fact there had been no real faith, no real repentance or conversion. It was an almost faith, but because it wasn't rooted in the heart, it was never really there. If you're someone who at one time made a profession of faith, but now you don't, this is the kind of heart you may have had. It may be the kind of heart that you do presently have. You need a change of heart. At the end of the day, that kind of heart is not so different from the hard heart. There's still a lack of conversion. A change needs to take place. You need a different kind of heart. The soil of your heart is not the last kind of soil in this parable. You need to listen on. You need to listen to the Lord Jesus. You need to seek him that you might find him. Aspire to have a heart of flesh and not a stony, hard heart. Christ in this parable then speaks about the hard heart, the shallow heart, and then there is a third kind of heart that the Lord speaks about, and that is that he speaks about the strangled heart. The strangled heart. Verse 7, some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. These thorns are not thorns in the sense we think of thorns. When we think of thorns, we usually think on something like a briar or some other kind of prickly plant that grows out of the soil. I have plenty of briars at the back of the manse that during my holiday time I do hope to pull out. But this is not the kind of thorn or briar that the Lord Jesus is speaking about in this parable. Really, this seed fell not so much among thorns that were full grown as in soil where the roots of such thorn plants hadn't been thoroughly cleared out. I'm sure many of you have weeded soil at some time and you've had the experience of coming across one root after another in the soil. They're long and they're tough, and it takes such a long time to find the end of the root. You say to yourself, when am I ever going to come to the end of this root? Maybe it's so tough that you can't actually get to the end of the root and you feel like just cutting it. But then you know if you do that root is going to grow again and it will appear alongside the nice flower you hope will come up in the soil. And it might even choke that flower before it becomes a nice flower. The weed has to be pulled out by the root. What the Lord Jesus is referring to here is to seed that falls into soil that is completely riddled with hidden roots. The roots grow up out of the soil at the same time as the seed germinates and sprouts. But the roots overgrow the good seed. shutting out from the sapling light and air. The roots also draw away from the soil the moisture and richness of earth with which the good seed should have been nourished. In the end, these thorns or roots strangle the blade of the seed long before it has any opportunity of bringing forth fruit. And here the problem is not lack of soil or even lack of depth of soil. It might also be good soil. What is lacking is the proper care of the soil by the farmer or the sower. There needed to be a diligent eradication of the roots or the thorns in the soil before the seed was sown there. Unless these roots are rooted out, they will oppress and strangle whatever springs up in their midst. And Jesus interprets the meaning of this for us in verses 18 and 19. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Here it's not as in the first case that the word is totally ineffectual in penetrating the heart, but like the previous kind of soil and heart, this kind receives the word, but preoccupation with other things, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word. Just like that seed planted in the thorn-infested soil. We haven't time to look at each of these three categories of things that choke or strangle the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. But I just touch on the first, the cares of this world. Well, this speaks of people in whom at some time in the past there was a desire to focus on the other world, the eternal world, and on things pertaining to that world. There was a desire within this person to care for their own soul, to prepare their own soul for that other world, for eternity. The word of God affected them and turned them in that direction. But then after some time, they turned to what was for them this world. This is the real world. This is the world I know. This present age. I prefer to live for this world. There are so many things I like and I want in this world. Perhaps without even at first realizing what was happening, they became so preoccupied with this temporary world that they had no time to think about the eternal world. They had to worry about the business, or they became totally engrossed in a hobby, or were working to keep up with the Joneses, but had no time for the Word of God, no time for that making an influence and an impact upon their life. No time for allowing it to shape their thinking and their conduct in life. Along the way, the word was crowded out of their life. Apart from a Sabbath service, a Bible is never opened at any other time. There's no time or inclination for reading a Christian book. There's little, if any, prayer. The cares of the world have strangled any spirituality that might have come forth as a consequence of hearing the word. Does that describe anyone here? Are the cares of this world, or the deceitfulness of riches, or the desire for other things choking the word that you hear this morning? Don't allow them to do that. May the word change your heart today, if that has been the case. Call out to God and ask him to change your heart and to give you a new heart. So this is the strangled heart. Well, let's move on as we come now to our fourth and last kind of heart in the parable. We deal with it very briefly, and it is what we could call the receptive heart. The receptive heart. Verse 8. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The meaning is obvious, isn't it? But the Lord tells us anyway in verse 20, these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Look at the words the Lord Jesus uses to describe this person. Their heart is good ground. It's not hard or shallow soil, nor are there any weeds or thorns there. This person is rooted in the word. Their heart is, after all, soil, but they don't care much for the world. Their greatest desire is for God and for his word. They receive the word of God gladly. Does this describe you? Is your heart good ground? Do you love to hear God speak to you? Do you love his word? Is your heart open to his word? Are you enjoying, for want of a better term, listening to God's word today? Look at the other verbs Christ uses to describe this person with the receptive heart. They not only hear the word, they accept it. It may rebuke them, it may make them feel bad, but they want it and they know it is good for them. They may be admonished by it, rebuked by it, but they receive it. They welcome the rebuke. This word that they accept affects them long term. They're not quitters. They persevere when trials come. When they face a crisis, they don't throw in the towel and say, well, I haven't time for God anymore, nor for his gospel. And these people, says Jesus, bear fruit. It's the fruit of holy living, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of obedience and love for God and love for others, the fruit of increasing conformity to the image of Christ, resulting in increasing fruitfulness and witness to an unbelieving world. Not all with this kind of heart, the receptive heart, bear the same quantity or quality of fruit, but they all do bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, but then some 100. Some excel in the extent to which they dedicate themselves to practicing what they hear and receive from the word. They bear fruit 100-fold. So which kind of heart is yours? That was the question at the beginning. I asked you to ask yourself. Is yours the hard heart? Or is it the shallow heart? Is it the strangled heart? If it is any of these hearts, pray God to give you a new heart. That is possible. The great sower, Jesus Christ, is able to take the soil of your heart and give it a complete change. And if that's what needs done to your heart, ask him from your heart and he will do it. Ask him to give you a receptive heart, that you would receive the word of God gladly and know eternal life through Jesus Christ. Happy you will be if your heart becomes a receptive heart. For you who have a receptive heart, you are blessed. You're open to the word of God. You bring forth fruit that will last all eternity. May God bless his word to each of our hearts, so that indeed each heart may be a receptive heart. Amen.